Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Let's go in to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Our buddy Scott Petrak joins us now. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, we're sitting here and we're happy that the Browns got a win. It wasn't picturesque. As I said, it won't go to the Hall of Fame as an example of how to play the game. That doesn't matter because they're 1-1.
Yeah, it's a big win. You don't want to go 0-2, especially the way they started yesterday. Felt like it was their game, theirs for the taking. Then all of a sudden, it started to get away from them, and you could visualize just one of those terrible losses, and 0-2, and the sky's falling, and everything's going wrong. So it was really important that they got the win. I thought they showed signs of improvement from that week one debacle, and across the board, I thought they got better in pretty much every area.
How about Deshaun's play? Just, you know, they came out on fire, and then things kind of trickled back. You ended up with three offensive points in the second half, and I still think there's some rhythm issues. I don't know if it's because of the offensive line or what. You tell me your thoughts on Deshaun and maybe perhaps some of still the rhythm issues.
Yeah, he's certainly included in the group of guys that made big improvements from week one. That first drive was really good. I thought he got the ball out of his hands quickly. I thought he made quick and smart decisions, which a lot of times were missing against the Cowboys. So I thought it was really positive in that aspect. You know, as the game went on, I think Jacksonville adjusted. Things got sloppier. I thought the line protected him pretty well. I think it was only two sacks. I didn't feel like he was running around like crazy as he was the week before. So they got some of that shored up. You know, it's a good defensive front from Jacksonville, but they don't do as much kind of exotic blitzes that the Cowboys did the week before that the Browns struggled to pick up. So, you know, there's still room for improvement with Watson. He and Amari Cooper have yet to click. You know, yesterday Cooper had three catches on eight targets. Certainly not good enough. But it was a step forward for Watson.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, what is it about the Browns on opening drives that seem to be above the, I think NFL teams score on something like 22% of the opening drives? I don't have the Browns stat, but it sure seems like they're very successful on opening drives. Two parts. Why? What are they doing so well? And what does Kevin Stefanski, what does he do? What's his staff do? And then what happens? Because sometimes that goes away.
Yeah, I mean, I think the credit goes to Kevin Stefanski for scripting the first however many plays it is. You know, usually it's 15. So you script a good set of 15 plays. You practice those during the week. The guys know what's coming. And that pays off, and that means he knows what he's doing. He thinks he knows where to attack the defense from what he's seen on film. Now, things change as the game goes on. The other team adjusts. They have matchups they can attack. You don't have everything scripted, so you're calling plays more spontaneously, I suppose, which I'm sure is more difficult to do. You know, he's got the play call, the sheet in front of him, and he's got – you know, first and 10, we do this. Second and 5, we do this. So, but it's just different than something you've thought about all week and you've planned all week. But I just think it's natural for there to be a little bit of a fall off there when you haven't worked on this specific, even order of plays as you do in the early in the game as to later in the game.
Jack Conklin inactive again. Hudson starts left tackle. You're still waiting on Jed. What's your feeling, or do you have a gut on maybe when Jack or Jed will be back? Because I also feel like a lot of these offensive line problems, although these guys haven't played in a while, which kind of scares me, but I think they might dissipate a little bit once like one or both of them come back.
Yeah, well, I would agree that Jedrick Wills and or Jack Conklin would be an upgrade at left tackle. I would also say I don't think the line certainly had its issues in the opener. It wasn't all the line's fault. You know, the 17 hits from Watson, it was not all the line's fault. Whether it's guys getting open and or Watson holding the ball for too long makes the line look worse. I thought the line was fine yesterday. I mean, I'm rewatching the game right now, and, you know, there's pressure, but that happens. Like I said, there are only two sacks. I'm going to look up his hits as I'm sitting there right now. You know, he's only hit a total of eight times, so you cut that in half from week one. So, you know, I think those guys would be an upgrade, but I don't think the line killed him by any stretch yesterday. And as far as the timeline, I mean, I kind of felt like Conklin was going to be ready to go either week one or week two. So I think it could be any week. It would not surprise me if it came against the Giants. I think Jed Wills is a week behind, you know, just from when they came back to practice. But I saw both the look at the guys Friday, and they both looked pretty good to me. Like, that was as good as I've seen Jed Wills move since last year. So I think that's encouraging. You know, we have to remember, Conklin's was a serious, serious injury, and it's only been 53, 54 weeks since it happened. So, and I don't think it's overly concerning that they're not ready yet, but I do think you're going to get both those guys back within the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his coverage of the Browns at brownzone.com. Denzel Ward played 11 snaps yesterday and said after the game it was kind of a situational thing and he was on a snap count. Why? And if he was okay to play 11, you know, only 11, it makes me think maybe he shouldn't have played at all, Scott?
Well, it's weird because he was on the injury report all week, but he's a full participant. And you kind of ignore those guys because, you know, if you're a full participant, then he wasn't on the, you know, his game status was he was going to play. So yeah. It wasn't on my radar at all. And, in fact, I had to look it up during the game. I said, man, was he on there for anything? And then you see shoulder, and I think, okay, well, you can probably practice with the shoulder injury because there's no contact or, you know, not much contact in practice. But you get to the game, and you have to be more careful. So, you know, he said that it's not that big a deal. Stefanski said he would be okay. I think they just were trying to limit the amount of hits that it was possible for him to take. And Kevin Stefanski said he was feeling it during the game because he started and he played the first couple snaps. He made a couple plays. Then it was only on third down. Then it wasn't every third down. So, you know, they downplayed it after the game. Obviously, it's something to keep an eye on because he is your best corner. And it's only been two games, but he's made a bunch of plays on the ball already.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That ending was so bizarre yesterday, Scott. I walked away from the TV for 2 seconds, and they had already, after the punt, and I'm like, all right, I feel good. They got the ball back here. They're going to be running on the clock. And then I came back, and I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? How did they get the ball back? I just... You know, for a team that was so well scripted at the beginning of the game, that last drive made no sense to me at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the crazy finish. And, you know, Stefanski said, like, it's a finish I'll never forget, you know, which is kind of a quote that stands out for him because he usually doesn't say stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, the big play was the third down. Right after the safety, they get the ball back on the kind of punt onside kick, which is weird in itself. And they run it twice, and then on third down, he tells Deshaun Watson that if the throw isn't there, take a sack. And for a reason that I guess maybe only Watson knows, he did not take the sack, and he tried to throw it, and it turns into an incompletion and costs the Browns 40 seconds. So Stefanski said he was mad at him, and then he got over it. But that's just the play on the quarterback. You got to know better than that. You have to know that those seconds are precious, and you would think that difference in 40 or 45 seconds, whatever it would be, keeps you know, if the Jaguars don't have that time, then they don't get the Hail Mary throw into the end zone.
Yeah.
And instead they do, and everybody has to sweat it out. So, you know, it's wound up not costing them, but that's a bad play on Watson's part. And you can say Stefanski should have just, you know, called a run and handed it off, but I think you have to trust your quarterback to be smarter there.
I was just going to say the same thing that you just said. Maybe you just call the run there and just think clock completely rather than try and make the play. But you're right. You got to trust your quarterback that he makes the right play.
Right. And the hope, you know, the goal is you get a first down and the game's over. And you don't think you're going to get it running the ball. And you think, you know, they're going to be loaded up against a run. So maybe you can catch them with a little rollout and get them. And it's a pretty safe play unless your quarterback decides to throw the ball.
Should the Browns be concerned at all that Deshaun really hasn't had a big-time passing game as a member of the Browns? He hasn't had a 300-yard game. He had 289 last year against Tennessee, but that was his best game. Is that a concern that we're not seeing big-time passing numbers, or is that just the way this offense is going to be?
No, I would say most definitely it's a concern, Jeff. You know, this is a passing league. Guys throw for big numbers a lot. They're trying to throw the ball a bunch with Deshaun Watson. Now, they went away from it. I mean, they still threw it a bunch, but they ran more than they did in week one yesterday, and that was by design, and they're trying to take some pressure off him, and, you know, he still threw it 34 times. But, yeah, I think it shows where his game is right now. I think there's not the explosive aspect to it that he had in Houston. And if they're going to be if they're going to reach their full potential, he needs to have some games like that. That doesn't need to be every week, but you have to have that potential. And it bogs down too much. And, you know, I know we're only a couple weeks into this year, and the sample size hasn't been big since he's been here. But you haven't seen enough of those consistent. It's not only the deep balls. It's consistent, you know, moving the chains and completion after completion after completion. You just haven't seen enough of that. And, yes, I think that is a concern because you need your, you know, $230 million quarterback to put up some big numbers every once in a while.
We will listen for you during the Kevin Stefanski press conference. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com. Go read all of Scott's work covering the team. He covers the team for the Chronicle-Telegram and does a fine job of it.